Today's daf in Masechet Kedushin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kedesh is daf Samach Dalet, and we're holding at the Mishnah on the second line of the daf. And the question here is, what is the ne'emanus of a father in Nogea, his testimony that he was Makadosh's daughter, and what kind of isurim are created when he isn't sure which daughter it is that he was Makadosh? So continuing on that theme, says the Halakha Mishnah today, Kiddashti et biti, Kiddashtia v'girashtia. So either he says, I was Mekadesh my daughter, or he says, I was Mekadesh my daughter, but I accepted a get for her. And she is, in these circumstances, he said that he did this obviously while she was a Ketana, but she is, in these circumstances, still a Ketana. Varehi Ketana. So then, he's believed because he has biyadai, as the Gemara is going to point out. That's what we think it means. That because he has biyadai to do this, he could actually be mekabel kedushin for her. And that way he would aser her. And if he was mekabel kedushin, he could actually be mekabel gerushin for her. So therefore, when he says it, he's nema. However, if he says when she was a ketana, but she's currently a gedola, then he's not believed. So again, this strikes us as being very clearly dependent on whether under current circumstances he would be able to accomplish the same thing that he's saying. And so what's he trying to do? He's trying to answer her on anybody because he says that he was Mekadosh, or he's trying to answer her on Kohanim because he says he was Mekabel Kedushin and he accepted the get. Well, he could do that now. So therefore, since he could do it now, if she's a Ketana, then okay, if he wanted to do it, he could do it. So, you know, what's the purpose of his making up a lie? So therefore, we should give him the Ne'emanut. Ashenken, if he can't do it, he's no different than any other Eid Echad. And therefore, he should not be able to answer her. How about if he says, Nishbet Upiditia, she was captured by Guyim, and I bought her back. But the halacha over there is that when a woman is captured by Guyim, we assume that she was raped, and because of that, she would be asura to a kohen. So over there, it doesn't matter what her status is. Ben she ketana, currently ben she gedola, eino ne'ema, because that he cannot achieve on his own. Again, this is our first take on the Mishnah. Turns out, it's not as simple as it seems. So the Gemara first speaks this out. What is the difference between her being currently a ketana or her being currently a gedola? Maishna reisha, where the father is believed. Maishna sefer, where the father is not believed. Oh, I forgot to press the... One moment, just let me get the recording here. The MP3, yikes. So maishna reisha, maishna sefer. And also, in the closing part of the Mishnah, when it says she's not, he is not Ne'eman, where he says that she was captured by Goyim. So why exactly would he not be Ne'eman? Okay, so the Reisha, which is Biyadeh, over there, he could currently do what he said that he did. And therefore, we believe him, because if he wanted to actually do this, so why would he have to lie about doing that? So because of that, we say essentially Mali Lashaka. That's how Rashi understands. Mashenkin Seifa Lav Biyadeh, says the Gemara, but is that true? I mean, he really could do it. You say he can't do the Seifa, meaning the part about ossering her on a coin, and therefore when he says that she was captured, we don't believe him. But he could achieve basically that same thing, can't he? I mean, suppose he marries her off to a person who is a halal. A halal means that he's a coin, but he came from the marriage of a coin, let's say, to a divorcee or to some other iser kuhuna. And because of that, the child is called a halal. And if the child is a halal, then that would make her a halala exactly the same as if she was captured by Goyim. So then that would mean he's passing her from Kuna and he's achieving the same thing. And you said when he can achieve the same thing, that we do believe him. No, that's not true. Hello, Kasha, because it's not so pashut to say that a regular woman, a Yisraelite that marries a halal becomes a halala. We don't actually say that because this is going like Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda. Rabbi Yishtori ben Yehuda says, "Benot Yisrael mikva tahara lechalalim." That basically, once a Bas Yisrael marries a halal, his halalut is irrelevant, and his child is not going to be the equivalent of a halal. I mean, obviously, he's not going anyway, so what's the difference? The difference is if he has a daughter. So now, if this halal goes ahead and marries a Yisraelite, does not marry to the kahuna, so then the child who is a girl would be allowed to marry a kohen, which would mean that his grandchild could be a kosher kohen. That's what we mean, that it's a mikveh tahara. Basically, it's as if we canceled the halalut because of the fact that he married a regular Yisraelite and not a kohenet. Now, once that is true, meaning once we've established that the child would be kosher, so then by definition, the woman would be kosher and would not be mitchalelet. So let's remember, we have I think Gabi disappeared here, but we do have, I hope, and if not, when he reviews it, please, you should remember to write it down, that kol shatamutar bibito, atamutar ba'almanato. The general rule is that if you are allowed to marry a particular psul's daughter, then if he dies, you can marry his wife as well. Because if the daughter is not psula, so then that means that his wife did not become a halala. So let's say he dies, leaving an almana. An almana is kosher to a kohen, unless it's a kohen on the dark of Barnea, kohen gadol, that's different. But to a regular kohen, it would be mutter. But if you're going to say that since she is the child of a halal, she's asura to the kuna, so then she would be asura to kohanim. But in this case, says Reb Dustoy, nope, she is muteret to kohanim. Her only problem is that she is an almona, but not that she's a halala. And therefore, to a regular kohen, she would be muteret. That's why the Mishnah says there's no way for him to achieve on his own the thing that he said happened to her, or its equivalent, namely that she was captured by goyim. Wait a minute. He could always accept a kedushin from a mamzer, right? I mean, even though you're not allowed to, but bottom line is, if he would, kedushin are tovsim b'chayve lavim, and then if that would be the case, it would definitely turn her into a halala for the kuhuna, and he would then be basically doing the same thing that he claimed happened to her, namely that she was captured by goyim and possibly raped. And if that's the case, then why do we say in the Reisha we believe the father, but in this case in the Sefer we do not believe the father? I'd explain that. I'd explain that by saying that the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds, remember, Ein Kedushin Tovsim B'Chayve Lavim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, even if he would have been Mekabel Kedushin from a Mamzer, it would not have passed her because of the fact that there is no such concept. Since a Mamzer and Isser Lav, you cannot be Mekabel Kedushin from an Isser Lav. There's no concept of Kedushin. Okay, wait, but how about in a case where she's an Almona, right? So he could always marry her off to a Kohen Gadol, and that would, in fact, make her a Chalola. And therefore, once the father says that my daughter was captured by Goyim, in the event that his daughter is currently Almona, so then maybe we would believe him. No, how come the Mishnah says we never believe him? And we know that, according to Rabbi Akiva, it should be the same, even if we're talking about an Isser Lav, says the Gemara. And I'll prove it to you that even though it's an Isser Lav, and Rabbi Akiva normally says by an Isser Lav in condition Tevsim B'chayvei Lavim, and you would think that covers the case of an Almana L'Kohen Gadol too. No, it doesn't, as Rabbi Simoi pointed out. Rabbi Simoi. Tanya, Rabbi Simoi said, Rabbi Akiva looks at all of these Yisrei Lavim, and he says, since the Kedushin is in Tofes, therefore the child will be a Mamzer, because the two are interrelated. If the Torah allows the Kedushin to be Chal, even if it's prohibited, so then the child isn't a Mamzer, because there exists a concept of a relationship between them. But if it's totally Zarut, so to speak, in him, then that's a Mamzer, Zigmar says, a Mumzar. Once the Torah has said, this is not a possible relationship. So then the child is, in fact, totally illegitimate in the sense of true mamzerut. Except, says Rabbi Simoy, except for the case of Abano Kohen Gadol or Yisrei Kuhuna in general, Rabbi Simoy. D'Tanya, Rabbi Simoy Omer, it's true that min hakol oser Rabbi Akiva mamzer, but he would not have said that an Abano Kohen Gadol is a case of mamzerut, despite the fact that it is an Isra Lav. Why is that? Chutz mi Abano Kohen Gadol. Shari Amra Torah, the Torah says, lo yikach. What does it say over there about the case of the Kohen? It says that Amana, Grusha, Chalala, Zona, Telo, lo yikach. When it's talking about the Kohen Gadol, ki im betula mi amav yikach isha. So you'd think that it's a regular law, lo yikach, in which case the child would be a mamzer. What does the next pasuk continue? Lo yechalel zaro bi amav. And that would make his child a halal. A halal? My God, it's much worse than that. It's a mamzer. Ah, therefore the Torah is saying that he is only chilulim osa. He creates halalim in his children, but eno osa mamzerim. So that means that in this case, even alib the Rabbi Akiva, it must be, if he doesn't create mamzerim, that there is a possible connection between them. That must mean that even though the Torah prohibited it, but if you went ahead and did it, so then the condition would be chal. Therefore, we still have our problem in the Mishnah, because the father should be believed since he has biyado under certain circumstances to achieve the same end that he claimed happened. That for all intents and purposes, she was captured by goyim, kidnapped, and therefore she's asura to the kuna because he could achieve that by giving her, even alib Rabbi Akiva, to some of the Yisrei Kuhuna. This is not true only of Amano Kohen Gadol. It's true of all of the Yisrei Kuhuna, that those special Yisurim, being as they're limited to Kayanim, apparently the Torah is Meikel and says that the result of such a marriage is Chalalut and not Mamzerut. So we're back to where we started. Well, actually, we could say that our Tana doesn't agree with Rabbi Simoy, who says that Rabbi Akiva is going to make a distinction between Mamzerus and Halolus by the Surei Kuhuna. It's actually going like Rabbi Yesheva. Rabbi Yesheva said, we should all come and make a demonstration against this Akiva ben Yosef character. Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. He's being Marba Mamzerim be Yisrael. He claims that wherever you're not allowed to sleep with a woman, the child is a mamzer. That's a terrible thing. Okay, so that means that according to Rabbi Yesheva, Rabbi Akiva actually agrees that there's no difference between the father trying to accept kedushin from a mamzer or the father accepting an issa kedushin on a daughter who's an almana from a kohen gadol, right? It's exactly the same. So if you hold, according to that, there's no way that the father could be makabel such a kedushin, and therefore, it's not biyado to pasul to the kohen, and since it's not biyado to pasul to the kohen, therefore, the Mishnah says that he is not believed. So therefore, if that's what our Tana holds, then everything works out okay. Does it? Not necessarily. Why not necessarily? Because there's two ways of understanding Rabbi Yesheva's protest against Rabbi Akiva. If Rabbi Yesheva made that protest in the context of the statement of Rabbi Simoy, meaning Rabbi Simoy came along and he said, well, you should know that even alibi to Rabbi Akiva, a child born of an Iser Kuhuna, is not considered to be a mamzer, and comes along Rabbi Yesheva, no, Rabbi Akiva, we should go out and we should demonstrate against him. He says that anyone that is osur and creates mamzerus. Okay, so then what would that mean? That would mean that Rabbi Yesheva was responding to the statement of Rabbi Simoy, but he wasn't extending it, right? He was just saying, even Yisrei Kuhuna. Now let's imagine if Rabbi Yesheva never even heard about Rabbi Simoy, He was just making his own problem against Rabbi Akiva. And he was saying in general, we should demonstrate against this Rabbi Akiva character who creates Mamzerim out of every Isser. Isn't that the same thing? No. Because if it's in the context of Rabbi Simoi, he's referring only to Rabbi Simoi's claim that Rabbi Akiva doesn't make a Mamzer from Isser Kahuna. So all he was doing was adding those cases of Isser Kahuna. But if he wasn't responding to Rabbi Simoi, and he was just saying Taime de Nafshe, he was saying his own take on Rabbi Akiva, then what he was saying was any possible type of Isser, even including an Isser Aseh. So let's say that we're talking about over here, is there a possibility that the Av would be Makabo Kedushin from a second generation Mitzri, from a Moavi, whatever these Isurin are? Our Isurim Vamitzri is an Isur Aseh. You have to wait to the next door, right? Door of the Yavos. So fine, you were over on an Isur Aseh, but you weren't over on Isur Lav. Nonetheless, says Rabbi Simoi, says Rabbi Yesheva, any Isur at all. Okay, so then the Mishnah works. There's no possible way for the father to Aser his daughter to the Kohen. But, how about if Rabbi Yesheva was only responding to Rabbi Simoi? That still leaves open the possibility of a father accepting Kedushin from an Isser Aseh. So then we're still back where we started from. Why can't the father be believed? Because in those circumstances, he would actually be able to Aser his daughter by claiming that he accepted Kedushin from a second generation Mitzri, maybe, you know? So let's see that insight. If Rabbi Yesheva was making a blanket statement on his own, not in context of Rabbi Simoi, so then he covered every possible Isser of Bia. Koshein lo Bia b'Yisrael, wherever the Torah says, do not sleep with that woman, or even if it's, I'm implying, oh, you got to wait another two generations, which implies do not sleep with that woman. Same thing. But Ila Fuki mitam de Rabbi Simoi ka'ati, and he was only coming to disagree about the Isrei Lavim of the Kuna, so he could still give her into the same situation by accepting a Kiddushin from one of the Isurim, let's say Mitzri Vadomi, right? And these are Gerim, but you're supposed to wait until the next generation. So we should believe him. Says the Gemara, you know what? You're right. You're right. But your entire approach is wrong. I mean, let me ask you something. You honestly believe that the meaning in the Mishnah is built around the fact that it's biyadai? Hey, man, the whole time throughout this Masechet, we've been saying biyado. It's never biyado to marry her to anyone. Because, I mean, how is he going to get somebody to offer Kedushin? He can't create a state of Kedushin. He needs for somebody to come along and offer him Kedushin. So why all of a sudden are you claiming that it's biyado? And what, he can arrange a get? He can get the guy to divorce her, so he's believed it. It's crazy. That's not the definition of biyadai anyway. Therefore, your whole approach is wrong, and all of this agonizing about Rabbi Simoi and Rabbi Yesheva and Rabbi Akiva, it's all ridiculous. We're not talking about the svara of biyadai. So let's drop that, okay? Let's see that inside. Omer Rav Ashi, you honestly think that Tizbra Reisha Mishum de biyado, that the reason that we believe the father is because he's capable of creating the same situation anyway? Nihi de biyado l'katsha? Let's say he could accept Kedushin. I mean, could he get somebody to divorce her? Of course not. And besides that, how is it biyado l'katsha? I mean, if somebody comes along and offers Kedushin, fine. But if somebody does not offer Kedushin, and daddy comes along and says, guess what? I got a great deal for you. I got this marvelous daughter. The guy says, drop dead. We know about your daughter. And so, I mean, where's he going? How's he going to get somebody to be mekadesh her? That's crazy. What, he's able to get somebody who's going to twist his arm and make that Kedushin? Absolutely crazy. While you were away, Mr. Gavi, dear, we had an extra Gavi thing, which it could be you already wrote. And please remember to put it in afterwards. Kol she'ani mutar bebito, ni mutar ba'almanato. So that would mean that in this case, if the daughter of a halal who married a Yisrael is mutter to a Kohen, so then that would mean that the mother who mothered this daughter can't possibly be a halala. And therefore, you're allowed also in the almanah. And there's no Isser Chalala in the case of Almana. So therefore, if this guy, back to the Gemara, so if this guy says, Lo Necha Begava, I don't like her, I don't want her, Mimachi Bekadosh Niela Bal Karche, so how's he going to get her to be married? Therefore, it has nothing to do with Biyodai. And this Biyodai makes no sense. Now, before we go further, I'm going to give you a little treat, okay? And the truth is, I mean, it's something of an excursion into territory that I wouldn't normally do in the Daf Yomi, but because it is so classic, it's irresistible. So, all right. So there is a classic discussion among the, when I say Achronim, I mean Achronim da Achronim. The past Doris have enjoyed this sugya very much, and it's become a classic in the type of svaras that are said in yeshivas. So it's a famous in Rebbe Chanan Wasserman, he brings it. The question is like this. The whole Gemara is based on the fact that I can't asser her to a Kohen because of the way that we're trying to figure it out. Could he marry her to an Isser Mamzer and so on and so forth? How is he going to create an Isser Kahuna? So the Ran asks, famous question. Of course he can asser her. Because if the Gemara currently believes that he can be Mekadesh, Bekaba Kedushin, that's called Biyodai. And he can be Mekaba Gerishin, that's called Biyodai. So then the moment that he's Mekaba Gerishin, he asks her to a Kohen. So why is he not believed because of the fact that he could ask her to a Kohen? Right? So the Ran says, so therefore what? Therefore we should believe him. Because if that's what he's trying to do, so then he would be able to manage that in a very straightforward fashion. And we said that he's, at least we thought we said, that he's believed to say Kidashtiya Vegerashtiya because it's Biyodai. That's what our Mishnah has understood as the Chatzila, right? So the Ran gives two answers. One answer is, there's no such thing as a Migul L'Chatzi Ta'ana. Because over here he's saying that if she was captured and she was raped, over there she would become a Chalala, would be Asura, to eat truma. But by his saying that she's a gerusha, she does not become a surah to eat truma. Therefore, he could not achieve what he wanted to achieve. And therefore, the entire thing is not considered to be biyada. Okay, very straightforward. But then the Ran says an additional thing, and that's where things start getting fascinating. The Ran says, look, ultimately, the reason that a father is believed to say that he was Mekabel Kedushin and Gerushin from his daughter, which assers her on the Kohen, is a chiddush that the Torah was mechadish, correct? What is the chiddush? Et bitina tati li shazeh, and that he's believed, as we're going to be masber more clearly in a moment. But if it's a chiddush, you cannot take the chiddush further than it is. You can't use the chiddush in the Torah to create a migu and to say, look, if he wanted to, he could have said that. So everybody asks, what do you mean? If we understand the nature of Migu, that he'd be able to achieve what he wanted to achieve, and therefore, when he says that it was achieved, what the heck is the difference? What the reason is he would have been believed? I mean, that's crazy. Fact is, why would a guy lie if he could have said a better thing? Isn't that the simple explanation of Migu? Migu, if he wanted to do this, he would have said something much better. So over here, he could have said what he knows immediately will accept. So you say, but the Torah only believes you as a Kiddush. Who cares? But it believes me. So I could have said that. And I didn't say it, which proves that I'm not lying. So the classic, as you know, I'm sure, but I just want to bring it out in the sugya, the classic Achrinah Torah is that what the Ran is saying over here in the second Teretz is that Migo does not work because we believe him since he could have said something better. Migo works because of the fact that the better Taina exists, that the Torah grants him the halacha of the belief as if he said that Taina. But it's not a psychological read that he thought all of this out and he would have been able to say that. Maybe he didn't think it out. Who cares? But that's part of what the Torah gives him is that level of ne'emanut because he has that theoretical power, whether he used it or not. That is called, in Achrenish's talk, Keach HaTaina. So it gives him the ability to have the same energy in the courtroom as if that Taina would have been said and would have been believed. And therefore, the Ran makes 100% sense. Because since this is only based on a koyach ha'ta'ana that is given to him as a chiddush in the Torah, as biti natati li'isha zeh, where do we see that the Torah gave him the koyach ha'ta'ana of it biti natati li'isha zeh? It just gave him the direct belief, because wherever you have a chiddush, you can't take it further than the chiddush. Nice? Okay, classic, let me tell you. It fits. You know, if you want to have, I always dreamt of writing a book called Lamdut in 70 Easy Steps. So if you want to categorize types of svaras, this is one of the classic types of svaras of Lamdanut. And if you want to, you know, join me in writing that book, it'd be a lot of fun. Any volunteers? I'll be happy to take them on the daf. Okay. The most fun is the Brisker svaras, where they're very easily definable. They work like almost AI. It's amazing. You know exactly what you're going to come out with. Righto. Okay, anyway. So therefore, we're coming out with a completely different approach. It has nothing to do with what's biyadai, because it isn't biyadai, as Rav Ashi pointed out. So what is the basis of it? Elam Rav Ashi. The reason in the Rish of the Mishnah he's believed is because the Torah is said to believe him. Because it says it bitina tati le'ish hazek, Rav Huna, diom Rav Huna omer Rav, minayin la'av, shineyaman le'esoret bitom min ha'Torah. Where do we see that the Torah gives a father the power to create an iser on his daughter from marrying people? Says it bitina tati le'ish hazek. Now, the moment that he said the words, et bitina tati le'ish, before he said the word hazeh, what happens? She's asura to the entire world. That's our Mishnah. I was mekadesh my daughter, but I don't know to who. Et bitina tati le'ish. What happened to the hazeh? No, that's a different issue. Now when he comes along, it's so beautiful. Now when he comes along and he says hazeh, and we're waiting, well, tell us more. Hazeh, so now he's mater her to this person. That means it's biyado to say that she's asura, and it's biyado to say that she's muteret. Marvelous, right? Okay, so this was all given over into the hands of the father. So the moment he said le'ish, now she became asur to kol olam, asara. The minute he says hazeh, now he's mater her to him. Therefore, says Rav Ashi, that's the svar in the Mishnah. Where did the Torah give the nemanis to the father benisu? The Torah said, as far as it's nogeas, her marriage, we believe you that she's married. But when it comes to the question of shvuya, b'shvuya lo yemne, the Torah never said, I'm believed to say that my daughter was kidnapped. I mean, you're no different than anybody else who says such a thing. And therefore, you're like an eid echad, right? Like any eid echad. So since over here we're talking about something that is an iser that requires two witnesses, we will not believe in a dover sheba erva. We're not going to believe a single witness. And this father is basically a single witness. Now, the problem over here is that the Rambam says, hey, Barnea, right in the middle of the Rambam, the Rambam paskins that edus about a woman's kashrus to kahuna is not called the davar sheba erva. So if it's not called the davar sheba erva, then why don't we say that ein eid echad is ne'eman b'yisurin? So how come the father's not believed like any other eid echad who said this meat is treifa meat? The case of an eid echad is ne'eman. So if he is saying not as a father, stop. I happen to know that my daughter was captured. So why is the father not believed according to the Rambam? The Gemara over here seems to be a Tiyufta ala Rambam Tiyufta. So there's a number of approaches to this issue. One of the approaches is that if we're talking about a case where she denies it, then we do not say Eid Echad is Neman B'Yisurin when somebody says the opposite. And therefore over here, she is saying the opposite. But then there's another approach that ain't achinami. According to the Rambam, he is Neman, but he's only Neman as an Eid Echad. He doesn't have the Nemanis of a father. So if another witness comes along and says he was there, there was no such thing. So then we would throw out what he says. Masha Inkin, if he had the Nemanis of a father, that's the Chazon Ish approach That's maybe the way to understand the Mishnah, according to the Rambam. Okay, anyway, we're ready for Sir Richie with a tet at the end for some reason. Richiette. It's coming up as Richiette, which I'm assuming means that you've gotten younger and you're just a little Richie. Richiette.
For those who don't know, you can now order a Richie's Pizza t-shirt. As of yesterday, you can get your very own I Remember Richie's Pizza t-shirt.
Richie's Pizza resurrected with an addendum underneath saying, Am Yisrael Chai.
Wow.
This is not my, what do you call it? I have a cousin who I think, and when he wanted help, he's a graphic, what do you call it? He made these t-shirts in one day. Wow. Unbelievable.
where do we get ours?
Rebbe, because he saved a napkin. He had the logo off of a napkin. From the napkin, he made the t-shirt.
Wow. No, in the end, I had an old shirt and I sent it to him. But the guy is really, what do you call it? I'll put it on the...
Put on the link. Well, wait a minute. Do they charge for delivery or mishloach eskinam?
No. If you buy $80 worth, it's what do you call it? But I tend to doubt whether it'll get here before the war's over.
Oh, but does it come with the pizza? I want Richie's pizza.
I'm going to have to reopen the store, I guess, you know, if I got these shirts. Anyway.
Very nice. Okay, yeah. Sir Richiette.
Zook the Helika Mishnah.
Excellent. I want to point out, by the way, you will notice that Zoom did not move Richie near to Doc today. You know why? Because he was so turned on, it didn't need to. This is the level of AI that we're talking about. It was amazing. The first time ever, right? Fantastic.
It's Bina Yisera.
Misha Amar B'Sha'at Mitato. Now the question is, how about a husband believe his believability vis-a-vis his wife when it comes to the question of whether she needs to be mityabemet? So a man is on his deathbed and he says, I have good news for you, my dear. I have kids. I know you never knew about it, but look, you know, it makes a big difference, right? I mean, you could be happy now because now you don't need yibum. You bum, drop dead. I am. Okay. Anyway, so what about in this case when the guy fesses up? I've had these kids, you know, all along. And now do we believe him that his wife, when he dies, his wife is not chayeves and yibum? Yes. If he says that, he's believed. But what if he tells her, you know, I never told you, even though I'm dying childless, I never told you that I have a brother. Oh, no! So, my last words to you are, I have a brother. Okay, so then that means you can't get married until you get Yibum or you get Chalitza. How about that? There, he's not believed. Okay, so what does that mean, says the Gemara? That he's only Ne'eman to say that his wife is Muteret without Yibum, but he's not Ne'eman to say that his wife is Asura. Well, that's fascinating. I mean, where would that come from? So it's mean that the Mishnah is specifically saying, not like Rabbi Nassim, because we have a Braita that gives us the opinion of Rabbi Nassim as well. If a man said at the time of the marriage, and he says to this woman, he says, look, you don't have to worry about marrying me, because even if I die on you, you're not going to be chayevet in Yibam, because I have kids from a previous marriage. So he tells her, B'shas Kiddushin, I have children. Then, when he's dying, he says, I was lying. I don't have children. And how about if he said, at the time of Kiddushin, I don't have any brothers, so you don't have to worry about Yibam. And then as he's dying, he says, I lied. I do have brothers. So in both cases, he's only believed in what he said that is matir her, but he's not believed in what he said to answer her. So in other words, when he said initially at the time of the Kiddushin, I don't have brothers, I do have children, that he's Nemanon. But what he said, B'shas Misa, to answer her, he's not believed. So Tainas Rebbe. Rebbe Nosson Omer, Af Neman Le'asor. According to Rebbe Nosson, we believe him even to make an Isser. So now our Mishnah seems to be saying Beferish, not like Rabbi Nassan. Omar Rava, no. The two cases are not the same. In the case of the Braita, given to Bishat Mita Kahodabe, Emakushtika Omar. If a guy is on his deathbed and now he's fessing up, so it's most reasonable to assume that when he was being Makadosh, or he was lying because he wanted her to marry him, feeling secure against Yibum. And that now that he's dying, he doesn't want to burn in hell for putting his wife out there as a Yavama Lashuk, and it's going to be blamed on him. So therefore, he's fessing up, and he's admitting, no, I don't have children. Or, yes, I do have brothers. And that's why Rabbi Nassan believes him. But in the case of the Mishnah, where the guy is coming from nowhere, and it's not as if there's been some insight that he's ready to fess up, he's just suddenly saying something, we can assume the guy just wants to put his wife into pain, that's all. You know, let me leave you with the last words that you'll suffer forever. Ah! So in that case, Rabbi Nassan would agree. No, Almeida, you can't just say something to be Mitzayah her. Omali Abaya, I don't understand. I mean, it seems to me it's the opposite. It's a kosher cane. If in the case in the Braisa, where the guy's contradicting himself, right? Kamara Lele Dibure. And he already said the opposite. You're saying he's saying the truth despite the fact that he said the opposite? And there you believe him? So in the case of the Mishnah, where he never said anything, he's just coming now to give you information and he never gave you until now. So for sure, look, Oshikane, that we believe him. I don't understand what you're saying, Rav. El Amar Abaye. Therefore, I say that there is a way that it works out, Alibi Rabbi Nassan. You're right that the Mishnah and the Braisa are actually different cases, but not because of what you're saying, because of the psychology of fessing up at his deathbed. It's because we're talking about two different cases. That's why. The Mishnah is talking about the Lomuchzik Lon Be'ach. We never, ever had any information about this guy. There was no assumed chazaka that this guy has brothers. We never heard anything about his children. And there was absolutely just the chazaka on him was, we don't know anything that would be Mechai of Yibam because there aren't any brothers anyway. So then we say, in that case, given the Lomuchzik Lon Be'bani V'lo Be'achi, there's a chazaka right now that she's not supposed to be Mityabemet. So therefore, when he says, I have brothers, so now all of a sudden, he's going against the chazaka. So Lavko Kamina Deosue Akuleyama, why should we believe a guy who doesn't have any specific Ne'amanus, why should we believe him to go against the chazaka that we've assumed all of these years that this was the situation? So basically, if he says, I have children, so then we believe him. I have children. Because he's not changing what the chazaka was. Now, I mean, why do we say we believe him? We don't care. I mean, we're not that we believe him. Does it make any difference? Anyway, she was a chayavas in Yibam. So Rashi explains, yes, it makes a big difference. Because up until now, we only assumed that he didn't have any brothers. So if it turns out that someone comes along and proves that there are brothers, would be usher. But now that we believe him that he has children, because he wasn't going against the chazaka, it wouldn't even matter if we found out that he does have brothers. That's not what he was talking about. He was saying, I'm Patshish Ptura from Yibam because of the children. So yes, the Mishnah has to tell us that we are establishing a different situation. Masha Inkin, the Braisa, was talking about a case where on the contrary, all the years we thought that this guy doesn't have any children that we know of, and we do know that he has brothers. So over there, what's the reason that at the time of the Kiddushin, we do believe him? When he says, listen, I don't have any brothers, that's because of Mali Leshaker. If a person, what's the point that the guy is trying to achieve over here, right? In other words, Micah Oma, he's trying to make sure that this woman that he wants to marry shouldn't worry about Yiba, right? That's all. Well, he's got ways to do that without lying. All he would have to do, Motzi Oma, Potarna Loch Begita. He could say to her, look, you marry me, I guarantee you, I have nothing to worry about you needing Yibum if I die on you. Because what I am going to do for you is I'm going to make sure that you have a get that is chal a moment before my death. And I'm going to take care of that right now. I'm going to appoint people to write a get that will be chal a moment before my death. Now, of course, it creates all kinds of problems of Isser about Get Yashin and so on, but Lamaisa, he could do that. Okay, so if that's the case, we believe it, because why lie? So therefore, Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson, they wouldn't argue about a case like that. They were only arguing about a case where the guy had said something and now changes his mind. So there, the question is, this is a fascinating question. What is the level of belief that we give a guy based on Mali Lishaker? So Rebbe holds that Mali Lishaker is so powerful that it's the equivalent of Edim. And just like Edim, who would have come along, they can undo the Chazaka that we originally had. So in other words, we believe him so much based on this Mali Lishaker. So even though originally we thought, we know this guy, well, I don't know, but I mean, we've heard his brothers, I mean, it was a big family. When he says this, the Mali Lishaker creates a completely new situation in which we assume that she is Petura V'Yibam. And therefore, there was no Chazaka. And when the guy is dying, he is contradicting an already established by Edus, so to speak, anti-Chazaka. And therefore, he can't come along and contradict what he said, because what he said was Neman's testimony because of Mali Lishaker. Mashenka Rebbe Nosson says, now, wait a minute. I mean, Mali Lishaker is Neman's, but it's certainly not the same thing as Ada's. It's like a Chazaka in the other direction. So basically balanced. So now, if one Chazaka undoes another Chazaka, it doesn't change it that we turn the other way. Well, I mean, why would it change it to the other opposite assumption? And now, if at the time of his dying, he says that she is Shayach to Yibum, so then it basically strengthens the original Chazaka, which was not Ne'ekar, according to Rebbe Nosson, because of Mali Lishaker. And therefore, we believe him. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the case in our mission. Okay, so now we see the different levels of Ne'emanus. A Ne'emanus that the Torah gives him, a Biti Natati. A Ne'emanus that comes from a Chazaka. A Ne'emanus that comes from a Mali Lishaker. A question of whether there's a Ne'emanus based on the fact that a person doesn't lie b'shas misa if it's nogea, something that is going to save him from an iser, and all of those different cases, even some, I shouldn't say all of them, but some of them, banging up against each other, the chazaka versus the mali l'shaker, the question of whether he would have changed his mind, all of them are now brought up here in the context of this case. Now, remember we had this story before. On the Kadesh et Bitosta, Eina bogrot bichlal. So somebody said, I gave my daughter to somebody. I can't remember who it was. Well, a daughter that he does not have the keach to be makadesh, if she's a bogeret, so they're not included. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Well, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara, but you remember we had this entire sugya before. Let me just remind you. Benogea, the question of kedushin she'ina misurin levia. That's where we brought this up, because in this case, if he had multiple daughters, none of them would be able to sleep with the supposed groom, because we don't know which one of them was married to him. So each one of them is also as an erva of achot ishto, possibly achot arusato, right? Fine. You'll remember this as well. A guy was married twice. He has two groups of children. So he got a bunch of daughters from these two wives. So he says, I was the Kabbal Kedushin for my older daughter, Biti Agdola. But I can't remember what I meant. Did I mean the oldest daughter of the older group from my first wife? Or do I mean the oldest daughter of my second wife? Or, I don't know, I mean, or maybe I meant that it could be even the younger daughter in from my first wife, because she is older than the older daughter of my second wife. I don't know. So all of them are usher except for the youngest daughter of the youngest group, because he might have meant any of the above. So kulan asura, skutzman aktana, shebiktana, stibi Rebbe Meir. So you will recall that Rabbi Meir's shita is that the Adam is machnis atzmo l'safek. People are able to utilize language, which is going to really mess things up because they're really dummies. And we don't necessarily assume that the guy would have said to himself, I never would have made a password that I'm going to forget 2 minutes later. Want to bet? Okay, so Rabbi Meir's shita is, yep, you lost it, baby. There's got to be a way to recover that password and know which one of my daughters can marry. Nope, no way to recover the password. So that's a Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Yossi says, come on, people aren't so crazy. If a person is going to make a statement like that, he must have meant in his mind, I'll be able to reconstruct which daughter it is by using the password. What's the password? Gedolah. I mean, if the password, let's say the guy actually thought, okay, I got to remember this password. So my simon for the password is Gedolah. And that means the social security number of my oldest daughter. So honestly, do you think that he would have made in his mind the simon that it's the Gedolah, which might mean the Gedolah of the Ketana, it might mean the Ketana of the Gedolah. That's ridiculous. I mean, why would he have made such a simon? So therefore, says Rav Yossi, if the guy made this as his password, and this is the way he's going to remember his password, then obviously he would use the word to remind himself that, you know, obviously I'm talking about my oldest daughter. I mean, that's why I said the oldest. Therefore, Kulan Mutarot, says Rav Yossi, the only daughter you have to worry about is clearly the Gedolah Shebigdolot, is the oldest of the oldest group. Fine. Now, how about the opposite case? A guy says, I was Mekadesh, my younger daughter. But I don't know what I meant. Did I mean the youngest daughter of the younger group? Or did I mean the younger daughter of the older group? Or maybe I meant even the oldest daughter of the younger group, who is younger than the youngest daughter of the older group. Now, this sounds like exactly the same case. And the Gemara indeed is going to ask, I mean, what's the difference? The logic behind it is the same, right? Kulan Asurais, again, according to Rabbi Meir, except for the oldest of the oldest group, because there's no possible way I could have called her my younger daughter. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, this guy wouldn't have been so crazy. Obviously, they're all mutter, except the one that would have been a decent way to remember his password. And that's the Ketana Shebiktanas. So the Gemara is going to ask, it's the same Achlokas. Why do we need the same Achlokas twice? Okay. Now, let's take a look. And when the Mishnah says, the first line of the Mishnah says, Bogrot are not included, which means that Ktanot are included. And that means all of his younger daughters need a get, because maybe this is the one that he was Mekadesh, right? So you see from here, this was the Raya that we brought earlier. This is how we brought up the whole Mishnah earlier. Was Kedushin She'enan Misurin Leviyah Havi Kedushin. There's no way for him to marry in the sense of sleeping with any of these girls. There's no way for him to ever sleep with any of them because they're always going to be a suffix. Maybe this is the sister of the one that is my wife. And that would mean that we should cancel any element of Kedushin if you hold that Kedushin She'enan Misurin Leviyah Einan Kedushin. You see from this Mishnah that even though it's not Misurin Leviyah, it is considered to be Kedushin, which was a machlokas between Rav and Abaya before. And this was the Raya that we had brought, that Kedushin, Shena, Masur, and Levia is Kedushin. No, it's not talking about that there are multiple younger daughters, and therefore it's Kedushin, Shena, Masur, and Levia. Actually, there's only one older daughter and one younger daughter. And the Mishnah is coming to say that you don't have to worry about the older daughter because, I don't know why, we'll see in a minute. But therefore, the only other daughter, which is younger, is Mutar. What do you mean? But it says, in a bogrot bichlal, the older daughters. I mean, why do I need to even say that? The only reason I need to say that is to clarify that we're talking about multiple daughters, multiple older daughters, multiple younger daughters. So if it says bogrot, so that implies if there was more than one bogeret, then there's more than one katana. That's the only reason for me to even mention bogrot, don't you see? No. When it says bogrot, it means older daughters, not his older. Older daughters are not included in these fakas in general, since bogrot alma. Well, obviously not. I mean, how would he be? It can't be to tell me that. The only purpose of mentioning older daughters was just as an indication that there are multiple younger daughters. But why would I need to teach somebody that a woman that he wouldn't have been able to accept Kiddushin for is not included. Well, obviously it's not included. You might as well tell me that the first lady is not included. What kind of nonsense is that? Pshita. Bogrot, my avidita. This is all of this discussion. Ah, obviously the Kiddush would be that the older daughters made, or daughter, as we're saying now, made him a shliach. Hey, Dad, if you find a good guy, please accept Kiddushin for me. So I might have thought, but certainly he would be accepting Kiddushin for her. Therefore comes the Mishnah to say, you don't have to worry about that. Because if he accepts Kiddushin for his younger daughter, so then he makes money out of it. Because he keeps the Kiddushin. And a person's not going to do something that he gets money out of to do something that he doesn't get money out of. He's not going to drop something to eat le'anominai. Vavid mi de'les le'anominai. Nah, come on, says the Gemara. I mean, if you're telling me that all of the cases are meant to be covered in the Mishnah, including a case where the daughter said, you be my shliach, and that's the only point, so then obviously don't allow this to be messed up with other ancillary issues, making money, not making money. What we'd be talking about, of course, is a case where the daughter said, all cases, a case even where the daughter says, Dad, please find me a husband, you be Mekabel Kiddushin on my behalf, and you keep the money. What do you say, Dad? And even so, the Gemara is saying, he does not include in his mind the older daughter. So how do you explain that? Because afilo achi lo shavik inish mitzvah de ram yaleh v'yavid mitzvah de lo ram yaleh. Person doesn't leave a mitzvah that he has a personal responsibility to do in order to be mekayim a mitzvah that he doesn't have a personal responsibility to do. So basically, it would be a mitzvah, because this mitzvah that we learned from the Navi, remember, et benotechem tenu la'anashim. That doesn't say only little kids, benotechem tenu la'anashim, because the Gemara said before that the inyan of bet benotechem, how am I supposed to give my daughters? Remember, that was one of the issues that we spoke about. Is it considered to be biyadai? And the Gemara asks, well, how are you supposed to give your daughters to men? How are you going to persuade them to marry them? So the Gemara said over there, it means that you have a mitzvah to make your daughter attractive. Make sure that she's got a bank account. Make sure that you buy her nice clothes and so on and so forth. But that was going even on a bogeret, not only on a ketana. So that means that there would be a mitzvah across the board, right? But the point is that the bogeret can take care of herself. And she could be mekabel her own kiddushin. Masha enke, the ketana can't be mekabel's kiddushin. And therefore, he's the only one that can do it for her, where he's the only one. So then, obviously, he would be interested in doing what he has to do. Now, Lemaisa, this is a whole big problem because you're really not supposed to accept Kiddushin for your younger daughter. So why over here are we saying that he would be accepting? It's a whole bunch of discussion, really, in terms of Halacha Lemaisa and in terms of the social contract. Obviously, the situation makes a big difference. So you can't just blanketly apply this across the board. We're talking about in a case. So imagine, in a case, actually, Rav Moshe even deals with this issue. One issue you see from here, by the way, which is amazing. People are always talking about the question, Lo yaser chen bimkomenu, we will never take a shidduch for a younger daughter before an older daughter. Well, you see that that's not true. It says over here that that's not true, and that the father would, in fact, accept Kiddushin for his younger daughter, and the Bogrot are not Bichlal. Okay, so this is where Rav Moshe points out from the Gemara, because people make such a big fuss over that, and so on. But all of this, the question is, even though Lemaisa, I mean, the Rabbeinu Tam actually says, if somebody is Mekadesh Tam, we do have to worry about the Gedela, because now society has accepted the fact of Lo Yaseh Kein B'Mekomenu to be Makdim, the younger one. So all of this means that the situation, the social situation, needs to be taken into consideration. And obviously the particulars of the case, I mean, in a real sense, where you have a chiyuv because of the fact of Chas V'Shalom, this woman is, she's really advanced age, and she wouldn't get married and stuff. Obviously, over there, everybody has a mitzvah to be makdim that, We're not talking about that. So we're talking about where he's got a 12-year-old daughter and he's got an 11-and-a-half-year-old daughter, whatever. So in that case, one of them is Ramiele directly and one of them isn't. And therefore, none of these other issues get involved. So there we can say that a serious person will always do the mitzvah that he has to do and not something which is a generalized mitzvah. Okay, now we said, Mishi yesh lo shtei kitei banot, and we have the same machlokas twice. The oldest doesn't mean the oldest of the oldest, the older of the, I mean, same thing. Why do we need to repeat the oldest or the youngest, younger, older? It should be the same exact machlokas, either one of them. No, tzrich, I need to know them both. Why? Because if the Mishnah would only have discussed the first case where we were talking about my older daughter, I would have said, you know why? Because remember, we're talking about over here, kiddushin of little children, right? The oldest one can't be 12 years old yet. So therefore, it's advantageous when he accepts kiddushin to present his daughter as a more mature child. The guy that says, I don't want to marry a six-year-old. No, no, I'm talking about my older daughter. She's very mature, you know, and it's not as if you're going to have to raise her or anything. She's a very mature girl. Okay, so then it's advantageous for him to present his daughter as mature. So let's substitute for Gedola maturity, right? So then that would mean that the father would try to present the girl that he's offering as being his mature daughter, my mature daughter. But which mature daughter? Well, that's a question. Do I mean the six-year-old in the second group who's more mature than the three-year-old in the second group? Or does he mean his most mature? Okay, fine. So that makes sense. So I understand why Rebbe Meir would feel that the father would grasp at straws in order to present his six-year-old as being his mature daughter. Right? Because that's the point. It's advantageous. So Barakama Rebbe Meir, to give an ikazutarina, if he can excuse the fact, but you told me it's your mature daughter. She is my mature daughter. I mean, her sister is only three. So she's five. She's very mature. Okay. So then there, Rebbe Meir is saying, okay, so he's trying to present her that way. But in the other case, what, he's going to say my immature daughter? I mean, why would he say that? Unless he has to in order to establish her identity. So maybe over there, he would be made to Rebbe Yossi. That the only one that he would have actually fessed up that she's my younger daughter is the youngest of all the daughters, right? Otherwise, I would have still been able to call her my mature daughter. And if it would have said the second case where he was talking about his younger daughter, I would have said, that's why Rebbe Yossi says that you for sure, he must mean his youngest daughter. But if this case where he's talking about his mature daughter, maybe Rebbe Meir would agree to Rebbe Meir, right? And therefore, I need to have both of the cases in the Mishnah in order to be certain that I understand how far this machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi about whether people make dumb password simanim is a chashash or not. All right. Now, what that means is that we got a big problem, because now you're saying that according to Rebbe Meir, people make dumb passwords, right? And Mochis Inish Nafshela Sveika, and Rebbe Yossi is the one who says, no, people would never do that. Lo Mochis Inish Nafshela Sveika. But we have actually a Mishnah that says exactly the opposite, that Rebbe Meir holds a person would not do something so stupid, and Rebbe Yossi says a person would do something. How do you explain this? Remember, we had the Mishnah Nidorim, Hanoder Ad HaPesach. Somebody says, until Pesach. What does that mean, until Pesach? So he's usher until Pesach. The moment Pesach starts, the neder is over. But what if he says, Achiehei Pesach? So then Achiehei means it should be over. It should have been. All right, so then he's usher until Pesach finishes. And here's where we get into the problem. If he says, Ad Pnei Pesach, so Rebbe Meir says, okay, that means up until the face of Pesach. That's the first day of Pesach. The moment that Pesach comes, says Rebbe Meir, he becomes mutter. Why? Might he not mean the face of Pesach, meaning the third day of Chol HaMoed, which is the face of Pesach for the last days of Pesach? It's the face. And it's the same thing as the daughter, the younger daughter. And some of the same thing, no? Compared one daughter to the other. So here too, one day to the other. The third day of Chol HaMoed is the face of Pesach relative to the fourth day of Chol HaMoed. And here it's Rebbe Meir who says, no problemo. The only issue is the first day of Pesach. He never would have used the word Pnei to mean the other days. And Dafkitz Rebbe Yossi says, no, you never know. The guy might have meant Pnei Pesach, maybe the last day of Pesach. So Achi Etzei, how come it's backwards? Rebbe Chanina Bar Avdimi Amarav, it's backwards because somebody quoted the Mishnah backwards. The Mishnah in the Dorm has got it backwards. Muchlefet Hashita, it's Dafka. Rebbe Meir who says you do have to worry about Pnei. And Rebbe Yossi who says that you don't. I'll prove it to you. I'm not just saying this to get out of the problem. There's a brighter that makes that very clear. Vatanya, Zeh Klal, Kosher Zmano Kavua. If the time is a defined time, I know exactly when it's Pesach, I know exactly how long it will be Pesach, right? As opposed to things where a guy says, the kayets, I don't know exactly, the kayets is as long as the trees are producing, some people are picking, I don't know. That does not include it. But if it has a concrete date, then if a person says, Ad Panei, Rebbe Meir says, you got to wait till the entire thing is over. What? The Mishnah said the opposite. The Mishnah was quoting wrong. And Rabbi Yossi Amar, Achi Yagia. More fascinating issues about lousy passwords tomorrow when we have time to finish up till the next Mishnah and Richie. Okay, everybody, that concludes our exciting Bavli for the day to discuss the various levels of Ne'amonis, father to daughter, Sveikas of daughter Gedola, daughter Ketana, what exactly is meant by Mochisin Ishnafshe L'Sveika, questions of Ne'amonis of husband to wife in terms of the issues of Yibum, and the Mekor of the Ne'amonis of a Biti Natati Lishazeh, the Ne'amonis of a father.